a lot of the insights we've been getting about John Harbaugh and this new position with the Giants have been coming from Ian O'Connor, who longtime writer, author, and writes for The Athletic, and wrote a story that's in The Athletic now about this first 30 days of John Harbaugh. And so brings me happiness to say that joining us now to talk about John Harbaugh, the Giants, and the first 30 days, welcome in Ian O'Connor from The Athletic. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So the first thing I guess I found interesting in your article and wanted to ask you about is there were a few quotes from John Harbaugh where you and he, you're using the word system, installing a system, and that the system is important. And Harbaugh is a guy that I, you know, you listen to him in the press conference and you hear him speak and who's got it better than we do and playing with enthusiasm and all of that. And you think of the emotion that he brings and the effort, energy with a team as being important. But the word system seemed to stand out to me, I guess, in reading that article from you today. How important is that word, or, you know, the installation of a system to understanding Harbaugh and maybe what he brings to a team?
Oh, it's really important to him, Lori. And if you look at it, his system in Baltimore produced 193 victories, including the postseason and, of course, a Super Bowl trophy. And he is clearly the most accomplished coach the Giants have ever hired, at least at the point of hiring. And yeah, it's the synchronization of offense, defense, and special teams that he doesn't think it's there yet because it's so early in the game, only being there basically a month. But he does see it starting to take shape and talking to his coaches and in the meetings and finally getting the verbiage down and just starting to really build out what he wants this team to look like. And if you look at his Ravens teams, they were really built around physicality, particularly on the defensive side of the ball and really running the ball too at times. But I think that he knows that the four times the Giants won Super Bowls with Parcells and Coughlin, it was a lot about their physicality, particularly on defense. And that matches up with his system in Baltimore. And I think this is really a blending of philosophies, because in writing the piece, he talked about the strength and conditioning program, which he takes part in the morning, and he gets to the building at 4 a.m. And he said it really, that system of strength and conditioning is really a merging of the Giants and Ravens philosophies. And so I think that to him, like, he's talked about making the playoffs next year as an expectation. He's talked about winning a Super Bowl. But I think he wants to get away from that a little bit, because the more you say that, then people start taking it a certain way. And then if you go 7-10 right, next year, how does that look? So he did tell me that, like, he doesn't want to keep saying it. But what he wants to say is, I want to envision a team that is capable of winning a Super Bowl. And that's what consumes me right now. And to get to that point, because he's a CEO type of coach, he's really more of an overseer. He does delegate. He hires great assistants, which it looks like he might have done here. And it's a program. He had a winning machine in Baltimore, and that's what he's trying to install right now.
What would you say to Giants fans who look at it and, you know, had their dreams about maybe certain coaches on this coaching staff? And John Harbaugh is a guy who hired Mike McDonald to be his defensive coordinator in Baltimore, who obviously helped mentor Mike McDonald, who just won the Super Bowl and is being hailed as a defensive mastermind, defensive genius. And we know Harbaugh is not the X's and O's guy. He has to hire those people. In terms of this staff, I think that some Giants fans may have had other coaches in mind. What do you see in this staff, and what comfort then can you give to Giants fans who wanted, X's and O's geniuses on the staff?
Well, first off, Mike McDonald started out as a coaching intern with John in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I believe it was 2014. So he raised him in that system. So John can develop coaches too. I think Matt Nagy is fine as offensive coordinator. Todd Monken was the guy he definitely wanted, and he told me he thinks Nagy could develop into the greatest offensive coordinator ever. And so we'll see how that plays out. We know he wasn't play calling in Kansas City, but he's a head coach, and in this league, he has experience there at the highest level of coaching in the NFL. And I think Denard Wilson, we'll see, but a lot of fans thought Jim Leonard was going to be the guy, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure Jim Leonard was ever really the leader in the clubhouse. I've gotten conflicting reports on that, but Wilson is a guy who he liked all along, and then in talking to Jesse Minter, another part of the Harbaugh coaching tree, Minter really pushed Denard Wilson over the line with Harbaugh. He gave him a very strong recommendation, and so that made a big difference there. But there's a lot of experience on staff. I know fans wanted the Giants offensive line coach to stay.
Karen Brasillo. Intact.
Yeah, Brasillo, and that didn't happen. But to me, if you look at John Harbaugh's history and look at Mike, he already has a Super Bowl winning coach as part of his tree. He's got a head coach in Cleveland part of his tree. He's got his successor in Baltimore as a head coach now, mm-hmm. Jesse Minter part of his tree. Mm-hmm. He's got it. You know, he was always part of Andy Reid's tree, but he's got a pretty good one now himself. So I think he's proven, if you look at Mike McDonald, he took a coaching intern and helped develop him into a Super Bowl winning coach. If I'm a Giants fan, the last thing I'm going to worry about is John Harbaugh's ability to assemble a staff. I think this will prove to be a very good coaching staff, and I don't think it's I think Giants fans have other things to worry about. And I don't mean that yeah. with Harbaugh. I just mean just looking at the roster, and I know yeah. John has said like he thinks this is a playoff roster, assuming that you have Neighbors back and healthy for most of the season, Scatabu, right. of course, and obviously the quarterback stays healthy. And you know, I'm guessing he never said this to me, but I think he's looking at this as a 10-17. He'd probably tell you he wants to be 11-6 or 12-5. But I think every Giants fan would sign up for 10-7. And listen, we just saw what the Patriots did, and we saw what Jacksonville did and Chicago. And so it's doable. And I think given that he is the most distinguished coach the Giants have ever hired, I think he's got a fairly good chance of pulling it off.
Talking to Ian O'Connor from The Athletic about the New York Giants and John Harbaugh. And in the case of offensive coordinators, you reported this, as did others, that there's a pattern with Harbaugh where he tends to go for and hire, on the offensive side, guys who have been play callers before, and a number of times guys who have been head coaches, whether that was at the pro level like Nagy, Matt Nagy, or even at the collegiate level like a Todd Monken. But why do you think, what is it about that seems to be, have you ever asked him about that, why he's valuing that level of experience? And is it just his own comfort in terms of his expertise? Because on the defensive side, he obviously, is mentoring up a lot of younger assistants.
Yeah, it's true. And I think he did want to surround Jackson Dart with a think tank of sorts. Mm-hmm. And yep. Nagy being a head coach. And you look at even like Willie Taggart, the running backs coach, was a head coach in college, mm-hmm. and is a guy who has worked for all three Harbaughs. Jack Harbaugh, the father, he was an assistant and a player for him in college. He worked with under Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh. So there's nobody who has more institutional knowledge of the Harbaugh way than Willie Taggart. And he's there, a guy who was a very good dual-threat quarterback in college. And he's actually going to be a fairly significant help for Jackson Dart, who still has to run some.
Yep.
And Taggart actually knows how to be a dual threat quarterback, and he's been a head coach in college. Nagy, of course, head coach Callahan, and you look at a guy like Greg Roman. He's yep. been around forever, right? And he's a guy who is in the last 3 years fired by John Harbaugh, fired by Jim Harbaugh, and rehired by John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that is as crazy as it gets in NFL coaching circles, but. Again, a lot of reps in the NFL for him. And so I did think offensively he was looking at a bit of a think tank to benefit Jackson Dart. And, of course, John himself won a Super Bowl with a pure pocket passer in Flacco and then developed a multiple league MVP in Lamar Jackson, who is the complete opposite of Flacco. So he's won big with two different kinds of quarterbacks. And, yeah, he is a CEO, overseer, and a delegator. But I think he just believes, like most people do, in experience and that it matters. And I think his staff bears that out.
What can we learn about what sort of relationship he might have and build with Jackson Dart from the relationships he's had with Joe Flacco, with Lamar Jackson, which I think were, you know, positive but different, although the end last year of Lamar, it seemed like, was a rough season in general there. But what can we learn from watching him develop those quarterbacks and build that relationship that would transfer to Jackson Dart?
Yeah, and just the fact that they were so different as mm-hmm. quarterbacks, as personalities, and that, again, he won big with both. Now, he only won the Super Bowl with Flacco, and he was criticized for not getting to a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. But I would take you back to Jackson's early days in Baltimore, and I think you've seen that video clip of Harbaugh on the sideline after Jackson led a big drive or made a big play, scored a touchdown, and he talked to him about, do you realize you're changing the game? Do you know how many little kids are going to wear your jersey in the future? And just what you're doing to the sport of football and the position of quarterback and how you're just changing, literally changing the game, and what you're going to mean to generations of kids going forward. And they talked about loving each other. And I just think that Harbaugh coaches with humanity. He's a tough guy coach, but a kinder, gentler version, a little bit of his brother. And he does coach with humanity. And I think that when you're a quarterback, it is such a difficult job. Arguably the toughest job in American team sports is being an NFL quarterback. And you need to believe that your coach cares about you as a human being. And I think John is very good at getting that point across, that he cares about you, certainly on a personal and human level, much more so, or certainly as he does as a professional, as an athlete. And I think that today's coaches, particularly with this generation of athlete, if you can't get that across to your players, to your athletes, you're going to have a very difficult time winning games.
Talking to Ian O'Connor, who's done a lot of really good reporting on John Harbaugh and his John Harbaugh coming to the New York Giants as head coach. Ian, let's turn to the front office and ownership structure a little bit. Through the process of hiring Harbaugh, recruiting him, hiring him, all of this, obviously Chris Mara played a really big role in this. What role do you expect, can Giants fans expect Chris Mara to play moving forward?
That's a really good question, Lori. And I think it really is, not to bail out on that question, but I think it is to be determined. And listen, we all know that his older brother, John, the co-owner, president, CEO of the Giants, is right now, unfortunately, dealing with a very serious health issue and a crisis as he fights cancer. And so Chris has had to step in and do a lot more in recent weeks and months, and obviously was the point person on the recruitment of John Harbaugh, and it was very successful. He had those two meetings with John, one at his house in Baltimore, one at a still undisclosed location between Baltimore and New York. I suspect it was probably in the Philly area, but I think that without Chris Mara, I don't know, Chris Mara made that connection right away with Harbaugh, and that did make a difference. And going forward, I think, listen, this is still John Mara's team, and he is still running the building, and he's still there quite a bit. John Harbaugh told me that, despite his cancer treatments. And so I think Chris has filled an important void, and I think his role will continue to be a little bit more or a lot more than it was when his brother was healthy. But I still think that this is John Mara's organization and team, and will be for hopefully a long time. I think John is, what, he's 71 now, And let's all hope he's got another 30 years on the planet. And whatever you think of him as an owner, and he is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's had some really tough years in recent years. We all know that. Mm-hmm. And he is what his record says he is, as Bill Parcells used to say. But as far as covering him or just being around owners like I have for 40 years in this marketplace, I've never met somebody, an owner, who is more in tune with what the upper deck fan is feeling and thinking and cares more about that person than any other owner I've covered. Answers emails and letters from those fans. And I do know he feels the pain of the paying customer without question. And so, yeah, I think that that's why he's one of the most respected figures in the NFL. It's not all about wins and losses. A lot of times it's the way you carry yourself and represent your franchise, and nobody does that better than John Mara.
So, talking about John Mara, there was an interesting line in your article that is in The Athletic today about how John Harbaugh wasn't necessarily sure that this deal would come through with the Giants, that it sounds like John Mara had a call he needed to make, a decision he needed to make this a reality. It sounds like, I think there were Giants fans who were very nervous as the days went by and this official deal did. We saw the restaurant. We know what they ordered, where they sat. Oh, everything looks great. But this deal was not getting officially announced. Was it ever in doubt that John Mara would not make the decision to say, we're going to break from our tradition and have the head coach and John Harbaugh report to the owner in John Mara? Was this really tenuous, the situation?
Yeah, it was. And before I started reporting on it a couple of weeks ago, I was surprised at how tenuous it got. And actually, my reporting goes back a month. And you take you back to that Saturday, the 17th of January, when the deal was finally consummated at around 3:15 in the afternoon. That morning, John Harbaugh had a conversation with John Mara where Mara had not yet agreed to let him have a direct report to ownership. And as you know, Lori, the Giants have never allowed a head coach to have that structure inside the organization. And there was no way Harbaugh was taking this job without that. Mm-hmm. He wanted the job. It was like a dream job to him, but he had a direct report in Baltimore. He was not giving that up. And listen, with his resume, sure, again, 193 wins, a Super Bowl trophy, he's not going to report to a GM who is entering the last year of his deal, who has a losing record to the nth degree. It's just not, right, doesn't make any sense.
No, so, it'd be like taking a demotion, essentially, you know, when we think about it. And why would somebody with Harbaugh's record take a demotion?
$100 million demotion. Yeah, that's what it would have been. But it would have been maybe worth it financially, but he just couldn't take a job without that structure. And I think Chris Mara, you asked about him earlier, Chris Mara was, I think, in his brother's ear. And Chris did not say this to me, but just based on some reporting I've done, and I think he pushed John on it. I think he said, hey, we need to do this. We're going to lose this guy. And to John's credit, and listen, it's been in his family for over 100 years, this organization. And to do this, it just took a lot for John Mara to finally let go and allow a coach to have that kind of influence inside the franchise. But to his credit, he said, all right, I'm not going to lose John Harbaugh. He is, he's the best coach we've ever hired. And so he made the decision on his own. That he didn't make Saturday morning. At that point, it was still, that's why Harbaugh's agent, Brian Harlan, was still talking to the Tennessee Titans Saturday morning. It was still in play. So, yes, they had a verbal agreement Wednesday night. Those reports are accurate. They wanted to get married. They said Wednesday night, we'll get married here. Now we just got to work out the details. But working out the details turned out to be a lot more difficult than either side imagined. And, yes, I think there was a chance on Saturday that deal was going to fall apart. In fact, John Harbaugh told me when that phone call came in at 3:15 on Saturday, January 17th, he didn't know what John Mara was going to say. And like, he thought there was a chance he was going to say, listen, we can't do this. If you can't take the job with our structure, we have to move on. That was a possibility, as hard as that might be to believe.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any way that the Giants could have backed out at that point, and how bad, you know, for, say what you want about John Mara, you're right, he cares about that fan, but they, you know, you also care about, you don't want the team to be a laughing stock. It would have been horrendous had that not gone forward. All right, two more questions. I've got three callers on hold. I want to get, I promise them I'll get back to them. So, last two. One is, obviously the big announcement recently that Don Aponte is now assuming a role in the organization of senior vice president, and the role, operations and strategy, reporting directly into John Harbaugh, not reporting into the general manager, Joe Shane. What does this mean in terms of, I saw in your article, Harbaugh's talking up Joe Shane and that he's doing a good job, seems to like enjoy working with him. That may be, but to have somebody running operations and strategy and doing all the work she's doing, what does that mean for Joe Shane, and what is his role right now in the organization in terms of, you know, what should we take away from this in terms of balance of power, decision making, and what role for Joe Shane moving forward?
Yeah, great question, Lori. And I think basically this is the first time the New York Giants have ever been a coach-driven franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think they needed to make that change. And even though they've had strong individuals as head coaches, obviously in Parcells and Coughlin,
yep, it
was always a GM-first, management-first, ownership-first franchise. And this is the first time where the person in the power structure that really has the power is the head coach. And that's what John Harbaugh needed, and that's what he got. And I think I did not realize that Don Aponte was directly reporting to him until we had this phone conversation yesterday afternoon. In fact, I asked him, how involved were you in the process of hiring Don Aponte? And he said, I was very involved because she reports to me. And I was like, oh, okay. So he actually offered it. I probably would have asked him that question, but I didn't need to because he told me that she reported to him. And so what does it mean for Joe Shane? It means that I think he is going to really be heavily involved in the draft and free agency. I think John Harbaugh is the kind of person who realizes, hey, I don't want to walk into this organization and stamp out the general manager who's still in place. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's some belief in Joe, or else he wouldn't have that job from his bosses. So I think you're going to see him involved in the draft and free agency. I think that, hey, on draft night, if they disagree, Harbaugh will win that battle. But I don't think it's going to come to that. Mm-hmm. I think so far, so good. They're building a consensus. They'll figure out what their draft preferences are long before they get to draft night. So I don't think you'll see a conflict like that. But I also think Joe Shane is smart enough to realize that John Harbaugh can be great for his career.
Right.
Because he was kind of dead in the water, and all of a sudden you have this great coach. He can ride this into a new career in the NFL, and 5, 6, 7 years from now, Joe Shane could be in a much better place than he is right now, and I think he realizes that.
Yeah, look around the league, and it pays to be one of John Harbaugh's guys. That's not, you know, be one of his people. That's not a bad position to be in. Last one, then, before I let you go, is, look, Steve Tisch, we know, Giants co-owner, in the Epstein files and emails coming out, and it was a big story, but now here we are, you know, some days later. Do you think Steve Tisch will step down as Giants owner, and the more likely scenario is that, you know, let's call it one of his siblings, for instance, Jonathan Tisch, his brother, will assume that co-owner role with the New York Giants, or where do you see this going?
Well, I wrote for the Athletic a column saying that he should be punished for a startling, staggering lack of judgment in this case, at a minimum. Does he need to divest right now? I don't think it's going to come to that, but we'll see. We don't know. Are there more files? Are there more emails that are going to surface where his connections to Epstein suddenly grow and it becomes just a situation where the Giants just can't deal with that kind of PR hit. And so I don't know if this is it, if this is the extent of it. It's going to be fascinating to see what the NFL does. I do think they should punish Steve Tisch. He has embarrassed the league. He has embarrassed the New York Giants with his behavior. There might not be anything actionable in those emails. I don't think there is. But that doesn't mean his lack of judgment here and associating with somebody who 5 years earlier was convicted of soliciting a child for prostitution, that is a very serious thing. So I think that, yes, there needs to be a punishment here. I don't know if the NFL will go down that path. They should, but we'll find out. I think maybe the league is waiting to see, will there be more emails that surface? And if they do, I think Steve Tisch had better hope that his name is not in any of those emails or files, or else this could end up really having a, or he could end up seeing a bitter end to his run as co-owner of the New York Giants. So we'll see. I wrote a column saying he should be punished. And I guess the question is, what kind of punishment? Let's see if anything else surfaces in the Epstein case.
All right, Ian O'Connor from The Athletic. A lot of reporting on John Harbaugh, breaking a lot of news there. Ian, appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
My pleasure, Lori. Thank you.